was verse 30. Here's Paul is talking to the people. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, do you ever think about why we pray? Or do we just pray because we're taught to? Because it's a tradition? Paul gives us some pretty good examples of what prayer is and why we should do it. And we find in our text both instructions and encouragement. This is Paul, the great apostle, asking the Roman Christians who he had never met to pray for him. If we study his words, we will find instructions on how to pray and encouragement on why we should pray. Two things strike me as I ponder his words. First, notice how personal he is. Six times in the verses 30 through 32, he uses the words I, me, and mine. Second, notice how honest he is. He speaks openly about the unbelievers in Judea. He is referring to Jews who had heard the gospel and not only rejected it, but had become hostile against it. They followed Paul wherever he went, harassing him, accusing him, doing all that they could to stir up the Gentiles against him. Quite often their tactics were successful. No doubt, Paul had come to a crisis, a moment of crisis, and felt that his ability to minister was in jeopardy. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever caught yourself thinking, why do I bother? What is it worth? Or in Linda's sister's case, she has cancer. If there's a place in her body where their cancer could exist, it does. It just seems as though it's so hopeless to even bother to pray. But we know better. But sometimes we lose sight of that. As we look at this request from the standpoint of the 21st century, three lasting truths emerge. And I want to touch on them real briefly this morning. First, this one may surprise you. Prayer involves agony. When Paul says, strive together with me, he uses a Greek word from which we get the English word agony. What a thought that is. Prayer is agony. But someone says, I thought prayer was supposed to be fun. Whoever told you that? The Bible nowhere called prayer fun. prayer is hard work. And true prayer is agony of the soul. What was the last time you agonized in prayer? Just a few minutes ago. That was the last time we agonized in prayer. We rejoiced in that same prayer with the birth of a grandchild. But we agonized in that prayer over all of the healing that we asked. When was the last time you wrestled in prayer? Just a few minutes ago. When was the last time you shed tears in prayer? You'll discover what agony means when you have a sick child in the middle of the night with a rising fever and you can't get the doctor on the phone. You know how to agonize in prayer when a loved one is wheeled away for life-saving surgery. You'll know how to agonize when you stand before that coffin. And gaze into it for the last time. We did that just Saturday when I met with Susan's family. We met with the funeral people. We met with the two sons and the two daughter-in-laws. And we did agonize. We truly did agonize. And we will continue to. And we will agonize Wednesday morning when I head up that service for one of our best friends. Lifelong friend. Everyone struggles sometimes. And some people struggle more than we think. If we could crawl inside the heads of our favorite spiritual leaders, we might be surprised by what we find. Romans 7 is still true. Even the most notable Christians have times of doubt, fear, frustration, anger, uncertainty, and discouragement. That's not all we would find. And we wouldn't find those things all of the time. We would also find faith. Yeah. In our prayer, we can find faith. In our prayers, we can find determination, commitment, love, zeal, compassion, and a whole host of other virtues. Paul's prayer request reminds us that our heroes often don't have any easy time of it. True prayer and all other parts of Christian life are often a struggle for us. Do you ever think of that? Prayer is a struggle? It can be. I'm sure for Carol to pray for her sister is a struggle. For the others that we mentioned this morning. For Shelby with a heart problem. Prayer can be a struggle, but it can be a privilege. Prayer, another word for prayer, or another way of thinking about prayer, is just talking to God. We don't need to get on the telephone. We don't need to be in the presence. We can just talk to him. The thing is, though, most of us We can be driving down the road and be talking to God. We can be vacuuming the house. We can be washing the car. We can be doing anything that we have to do and talk to God at the same time, because we know that He is there, and we know that He is present, and we know that He is listening. Number two, prayer promotes unity. Paul says, join me in my struggles as you pray for me.
So if they earned like $80,000 to $100,000 a year,
though they were hundreds of miles away from Paul, they became one with him through their prayers. I can remember when I was going to have bypass surgery, and I could name you the number of churches around the world that were praying for me. Grand Rapids, Burnham's, Byron Center, State of Indiana, State of Wisconsin, State of Montana. And I'm sure I'm missing a few, but you see what I'm saying here? Prayer creates unity. We can be anywhere in the world and yet in the realm of the Spirit through prayer. We can't be joined with brothers and sisters. We can be joined with brothers and sisters that are thousands of miles away. By prayer, we can influence the world. By prayer, we can join the spiritual battle as the gospel goes forth. Through prayer, we become a participant in God's work around the world. Can you imagine how ticked off Satan gets when he sees millions of people gathering in prayer? Can you imagine how pleasing Jesus is when He sees these same people gathering in prayer all over the planet? What a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have. And unity is one of the reasons why we pray. Number three, prayer advances ministry. Paul asked for deliverance from his foes. Then he prayed that his ministry to the poor saints in Jerusalem might be acceptable. Then he prayed that one day he might come to Rome and meet the saints face to face and be refreshed by his fellowship with them. Most of us have seen those signs that say prayer changes things. Well, we know that. But I've heard it explained this way. Prayer changes things. And the things that change most is us. Did you catch that? The thing that gets changed the most when we pray is ourselves. It is a form of ministry. In one sense, that's a true statement. Prayer humbles us. It stretches us and shapes us and encourages us. And it challenges us and it deepens us. And it leads us along the pathway of spiritual growth. We cannot and will not grow spiritually if we never pray. Pray changes us. Prayer moves us from where we are right here to where God wants us to be. But there's more to the story than this. Look closely at what Paul says. If you pray for me, I will be delivered from spiritual opposition. I will be welcomed by the saints in Jerusalem. I will be able to visit you in Rome. Paul is being very specific in his prayers. If you pray for me, what I do here is successful. If you pray for me, what I do with whatever task I have, I will succeed. If I pray for you, you too will succeed. You too will be moved from where you are today to where God wants you to be. Paul asked for prayer because he knows that God is sovereign over his enemies, that if people pray, his enemies will be restrained and the opposition removed. Prayer causes things to happen that would not otherwise happen. Paul truly believes that their prayers will open the doors for him. This is the thing that I see most in the global Methodist movement. In a couple of months, I'm going to go to Wisconsin and meet with all of the clergy in our district, in our conference. And I promise you, everything that is done at that meeting will be preceded with prayer. Everything. And a few months after that, there will be an annual conference. Everything in that conference will be preceded in prayer, because the leaders of the Global Methodist Church believe firmly that prayer moves us.
I'm like, I hate the term shift. I hate the idea that as long as the market does this, then I can do that.
Right.
Big box firms.
I read about a Christian leader who remarked, the more I pray, the more coincidence happens to me.
Should I use annuities for income? Should I use dividends for income? Should I use preferred stock?
I remember reading the following, this person said. When I pray, I always try to include the phrase, now listen to this. This is going to really bring it home. I remember the phrase, so that. I heard a guest preacher mention that in a sermon several years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. That's what that preacher said. So that. He went on to say that he has been praying a particular so that prayer. I can't remember all the details of that prayer, but I do remember the three so that's. So that I would be strong in the Word of God. I pray so that I will be strong in the Word of God. I pray so that I would be faithful to the end. I pray so that God would be greatly glorified through my life. You see how much more your prayer means if you use the so that? Consider how many times Paul prayed so that prayer. Romans 13, so that you may overflow with hope. In Ephesians 1:17, so that you may know him better. In Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Philippians 1:10, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Colossians 1:11, so that you may have great endurance and patience. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, so that you will be blameless and holy. 2 Thessalonians 1:12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. The point that I'm trying to make here, and Paul in the so that thing, is that many times our prayers are good, but they're aimless. We ask God to bless someone or to strengthen someone, but we have no particular end in view. When you add so that to your petition, it forces you to ask yourself, what do I really want God to do in this person's life? You're being very specific. If you don't have a reason for praying a particular prayer, perhaps it's not worth praying in the first place. It's amazing how so that can transform an ordinary prayer into a powerful petition to our Heavenly Father. God loves it when we can be specific. God loves to hear the so that. You see, the power of the church lies not in money or plans or buildings, preachers or programs or anything else that comes from the hand of man. Our only true power is the power of prayer. Think of it this way. When we pray, God moves from heaven. When we pray, things happen that would not otherwise happen. By prayer, all things are possible. If we want to see the church move forward and the kingdom of darkness vanish, we must pray and pray and pray. If prayer won't do it, there is no plan B. Do not neglect the enormous world-changing power God has placed in our hands. Did you think of that before? Don't neglect that power that God has given us in our hands and in our words and in our works. Your prayer can shape history and influence the courses of events. We have that power through Jesus Christ. Through prayer, we can help missionaries in distant lands, restrain the work of evildoers, promote the spread of the gospel, influence your children to serve the Lord, and your prayers can be a link to the chain that God uses to bring people to Jesus. You see, great doors are open before us. Pray the so that prayer. Great challenges faces us. Pray the Solat prayer. Great needs rising our path. Pray the Solat prayer. I hope this message this morning changes your prayer life. I hope that we never hesitate to call on God through prayer, because it moves God, and most importantly, it moves you and me. Prayer is one of the most precious things that we can do, that God has commanded us to do, that God expects us to do. This morning, I hope you have some new thoughts on why we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.